Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
Club 1080 on the Fan is brought to you by Better You Today Weight Loss. Here's to a better you. Embark on your weight loss journey now at betteryoutoday.com. Hit get started today, and here's to a better you.
How and why are you drunk at 6 o'clock?
Well, the how's pretty self-explanatory, and the why is because I thought we were leaving at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Ergo, Latin, plenty of time to sleep it off.
At the club, Club 1080.
Make that up because...
God, just put that thing right...
Rock's looking at the ball.
It's entering through a hole in your face. If you pull harder, you're just going to rip something important out.
Who's winning? What is occurring?
Don't be a knucklehead.
I bet he's a real perv.
Because I'm 12.
No, no, no. Get on your knees. It's wonderful.
Hundo P.
Okay. It's a nice little collection there. Pleased to have you along. It is 6:09. We are running behind yet again. By the way, thank you for the person pointing out that the Mets are losing 14-0. That's awesome. Oh, it's 14 now?
Really appreciate that. On TV, on MLB Network if you want to watch it.
No,
I'm great. It's been on the entire time.
I thought it was 12-0.
Yeah,
oh, you're telling me they scored two more?
They just had the bases loaded.
Damn.
Again. Steven Matz, his ERA to start the year.
Matz?
Yeah. His ERA to start the year is like 8.8.
He's not good.
He's bad.
Yeah. Like, there's no...
Remember when the Mets were supposed to have a great staff forever?
Yeah. And Harvey and
all
Hunter,
I have is DeGrom,
and
who's incredible, but
yeah, he may be the best pitcher in baseball.
Oh, he is.
Is he?
Yes.
DeGrom's better than Cole?
Yes. Did you see
two straight Cy Youngs?
Pitching Ninja yesterday.
I'm sorry, what?
Pitching Ninja on Twitter is a must follow for those of you who like baseball. He, you know, always is showing the best pitches of the day. 99 mile an hour, paint on the black like six times yesterday in his start. Just perfection.
Pitching Ninja.
Have you never followed him before?
I don't know.
I do not follow the pitching ninja.
Yeah, he always posts clips of his name is Rob Friedman. He posts the nasty pitches from the day, and he has like YouTube videos he goes up. Cool. It's just a good follow to see cool pitches.
Cool pitches, man.
Yeah.
There's some good ones out there. The Biebs. Pretty solid.
Well, it's probably one of those three, right? Scherzer.
Are you a Belieber?
I'm a Belieber. He's awesome.
He is. He's great. I'll take my man, though.
Danny Duffy.
I'll take my the only thing good going for the New York Mets.
I'll let you know.
Did you see the entire Lebanese government step down?
Yeah,
they had a little bombing explosion.
They decided to store apparently like 8 million pounds of fertilizer and explosive material like next to a fireworks factory.
So the whole government stepped down.
Well, it'd be like if you ran like a daycare center and you put it next to like a unchecked tiger exhibit. And we're like, what? The kids all got eaten. What the hell? I didn't see that one coming. Maybe, just maybe, those things shouldn't go side by side. Just saying.
Wouldn't it be nice if our government stepped down?
Not going to comment.
That's one.
I think the not going to comment is basically a comment.
Are you scared to say anything bad about you? You are
going.
You're canceled. You're canceled. I'm canceling you.
Go back to being disgusted.
You know, one of the main reasons to not play college football is Trumpy Do-Wrong wants it to happen.
He did tweet out today. Play.
That's a pretty clear sign we shouldn't play.
He did play. He did tweet that out.
But you're right. I don't want to piss off the sensitive Trumpies
No.
that are out there that are now going to have to
They're going to cancel
find their flip phone.
They're going to cancel you.
Text me. No, I was going to... Oh, did you see that Trump... There was a shooting in D.C. outside the White House today?
Yeah, they pulled the press conference. I guess the Secret Service had to clip someone.
So Trumpy was up there talking, and the Secret Service came in and said, yes, sir, yeah, we're going to need to take you out of here.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they said that there was a male subject who was a shooter outside of the White House. Now, they say none of the grounds or none of the targets were, you know, that they protect were in danger.
Yeah, they got like a big fence now they built. Actually, they built like a couple fences.
Well, but, you know, I mean, it's always been quite secure.
Sure.
Even though it kind of looks like you can just roll up and
yeah, you can't.
Climb that. And, well, actually, somebody did the other day. Don't you remember that? Didn't that happen not too long ago where somebody was sprinting through the grounds of the White House and they...
Oh, I don't know about that.
I think that happened.
I do know that there was a while back, there was a guy and a gal who crashed a White House like get together when Barry was there. Remember they just...
Yeah, that was that...
they just rolled through like and they were milling around.
Yeah, it was just recently. Man barges in White House. Hold on. Yeah, because we had this big debate of, oh, how secure is it?
Did he get in the front door? Is that what happened?
I can't remember, but it was like 3 or 4 years ago. Anyway, who cares? They took Trump out of the presser.
Yeah.
Because there was an active shooter. And then they said nobody got shot except for, I think, a Secret Service guy got shot.
Oh, see, I thought...
Did you read that right?
I thought I saw where the Secret Service shot the guy.
Oh, maybe that's what it is.
I saw somebody shot. That's all I saw.
Two people. Yeah. 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 So
somebody was shot.
The guy that tried to storm the White House, he got shot.
Okay.
Was that his goal? He was trying to storm the White House, or he was just booting the boot?
I don't know. I'm just seeing like little
clips. He was just shopping.
I'm in the middle of a show here, so I'm just catching little like clips on Twitter.
What show?
This show. Show.
Our show? You mean you're focused?
I just know that if you try to storm the White House,
I don't believe you.
My guess is that you are going to get shot.
Yeah, it says a male subject and a Secret Service officer were transported to a hospital.
Okay.
So they both got shot.
Both got shot.
It was like one of those old Wild West standoffs.
Yeah, like a gunfight at the OK Corral or behind the OK Corral. Either way, don't storm the White House. That's not good. That's bad.
Yeah, not a lot of good's going to come of it.
No, you know? you're not going to. Although it is weird, like I was watching it was something like on the Discovery Channel or something. It was something about conspiracies. And this was a while back I was watching this, and it was talking about how we have a hard time like computing that things can be easy. Like the idea of a president being assassinated like JFK, right? That is a very complex idea in our head. We can't accept that just one guy could do that, right? We have to put together, regardless of whether you think of what happened with JFK, most people look at that and be like, there's no way, right? Just one lone gunman, you know, a guy goes off his rocker or whatever, and he gets a rifle and there you go. There has to be more to it. But then they said in the same breath, the guy that shot Reagan. I think people forget Reagan got shot. That was just one dude.
I remember that. What was his name? I remember that vividly.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember what that guy's name was. That was Sirhan, I think shot Bobby Kennedy.
Oh, John Hinckley Jr.
John Hinckley Jr.,
that's
right?
That's
what it was. And so they said that is completely acceptable. So that dude just waited in a crowd of people, right? And Reagan was getting into the car. And guy pulled out a revolver, a little snub nose or whatever, and shot. And he shot the president and came really close to killing him. They said if that bullet is like an inch higher, it probably kills Reagan. But that we accept because he didn't die, right? So it's easy for us to be like, oh, yeah, some crackpot tried to get the president and nothing came of it. No, that dude came within an inch of killing the president. But we can accept that in our mind. We can't accept that he died. And the guy made the argument that had Reagan been assassinated, we wouldn't have been able to comprehend it. We wouldn't accept that just one guy trying to impress Jodie Foster of all people. Mm. Remember that dude?
Yeah.
He watched Taxi Driver, got obsessed with Jodie Foster, wrote a bunch of letters and thought that was going to get her attention. We would have never bought that. We would have been like, nope,
wait,
there's governments involved and is this whole thing. And it was kind of an interesting, it was just an interesting thing about why conspiracy theories get legs. And like the way we perceive
it. Isn't Jodie Foster a lesbian?
Yes. Mm. He didn't know that at the time.
Yeah, she didn't come out for the longest time, right?
Yes.
Like she only recently said,
and to be
okay,
fair,
fine.
Even if she wasn't a lesbian, I doubt that killing the president was going to get Jodie Foster interested in you.
Tell
Plus,
you never know, man.
You would have spent your entire life in prison, thus making that relationship quite difficult. And it turns out that John Hinckley Jr. was insane.
Is he still alive?
That I don't know.
John Hinckley. Well, anyway, who cares? Another who cares. Odds of catching COVID on a plane, the numbers next on The Fan.
Today, and here's to a better you.
Double Sun Power!
Okay, John Hinckley Jr., by the way, is alive. He's 65 years old, and he is no longer in prison.
Yeah, he never was in prison.
He was the guy who shot Ronald Reagan.
He was in a psych institute, and I guess he got out in 2016. He has to live with his mom, though.
Yeah, at his mother's home. It doesn't say.
Yeah, there's a bunch.
She's probably dead.
There's a bunch of conditions, but yeah, he's got to live there. And yeah. You know,
how do you think Jodie Foster's family feels about that, or Jodie Foster?
Oh, I'm guessing that after this much time, and he's got it. I'm guessing that he is probably all Xanaxed up at this point. And is no.
Do you have to explain that to Jodie Foster before you cut him loose, or does she just have to he's out. Oh, great.
Yeah, I don't know how that works. I don't know.
Questions if I were Jodie Foster.
I have a feeling you have to explain to her the situation.
After 30 years, do you think she still thinks about that?
I think I would. Yeah. That's pretty... Yeah, dude. President of the United States over you?
He didn't try to kill her. I guess you take some sort
I
of
guess so, but
solace in that.
That's weird.
Being a female celebrity is just...
Has she ever spoken about that?
That I don't know.
I'd like to hear what she...
She's a pretty quiet... she doesn't make a lot of... It's a pretty private person. It's not out there a bunch.
Right. She probably hasn't.
I not that I know of, but it is kind of a creepy thing.
Kind of.
Well, I think there's a lot of... When you're in Hollywood, I think there's a lot of creepy
Might be
things.
Just a Tuesday for her.
Well, you think about, who is it? Sandra Bullock was taking a shower, and she got out, and there was a dude standing in the doorway of her bedroom.
Oh, yeah.
I think when you're a female celebrity, this sounds horrible. I just think stalkers are, I think they come with the territory. I don't know if you're, a female celebrity, if there's one of them that doesn't have a stalker. There are a lot of really messed up people. Dudes get stalkers, too. Don't get me wrong, but... I just would assume that the Britney Spears or Rihanna or Beyonce or whoever, I'm guessing that if you looked at their inbox and it's not run by them, I'm sure it's run by some PR person, it's just a cavalcade of the most horrific things that you could possibly conjure up. Just wackadoos are out there aplenty.
Maybe she told him to shoot Reagan. Anybody ever explored that?
I think she was 16 or 17 at the time, so... I'm going to go ahead and say...
So what?
No. I don't think that.
Okay, what are the odds of catching the COVID on a flight?
That I don't know.
I'm going to tell you.
Thank you.
Now, I flew recently, and I did report back in our travel segment upon my return that I feel better about flying, having flown, than I did before, thinking about just the idea of flying and how... just the whole thing.
It sounds like people, according to you and others, that most people are minding their P's and Q's on the airplane. Although I told the story, my buddy was coming back from Spokane yesterday. Two bros got on the plane wearing masks, took off their masks, refused to put them back on, had to clear the airplane, delayed by 3 hours.
Yeah, and I contend that common sense law, written by me, states that they are allowed to be pummeled. By the other 250 people on that plane.
Yes.
Now,
row paddling, everyone gets a big one paddle and you get to smack an ass.
I'm not saying all bets are off and they could die. No. There needs to be an overlord that pulls them out of there when they're
when
the message
enough.
Has been sent.
When they are close to death, when they're barely hanging on.
Don't be ridiculous.
Rob wants Adrian Peterson, cut a switch.
But I do believe that if you were on the runway, which it sounds like they were.
Yes.
You should be able, under my law, you are able to open the door, inflate the little inflatable thing, literally throw them down it, have one of the bros with the mask and earphones or whatever come over and escort them out. And then the flight can go to wherever it needs to go, as opposed to the alternative, which is what
go
you said
back
to your buddy.
The gate.
They have to go back to the gate. They have to take the guys off the plane, and they have to be They have to be delayed for 3 hours.
They have to re-disinfect the plane.
Yeah, they have to kick everybody off the plane.
Clean the
God.
My buddy was pissed. I'm assuming everyone on that airplane was livid. But the part that I don't get is you had to get on. In order to get on the plane, you had to be wearing a mask. So at some point, they got on the plane, masked up, sat down on the plane, and then decided, nope, not wearing it. Can't make me.
These are the worst types of people.
Yes.
Right.
What
there.
Did they think was going to happen?
I don't know.
All they did was inconvenience themselves.
Well, they probably wanted to make the news.
It's possible.
You know?
I just said, like, they were just like,
well, guess what? You're not flying back to Portland, you jerks.
No, and you're probably arrested, to be honest with you, for causing the plane to be delayed.
So safety is relative, right?
Sure.
Like everything, you right now are risking something by being here in here with me.
Yeah, I don't know where you've been.
You know, you go to the store, that's a risk. You know,
me
like
and Mike were making out earlier today. It's stuff happens.
And I love how we are now
it was really hot too.
Picking and choosing to us what is safe and what isn't. Like if you are quarantining 100% still,
yeah.
I tip my cap to you, but most people aren't. As a matter of fact, pretty much everyone isn't. And yet we still love to point fingers at this person who is doing this and this person who is doing, I would never do this, but I would do this.
Yeah.
Right? When the reality is there is some level of risk in every single thing that you do.
Sure.
Obviously, some things none of us should do. Other things, it's a little gray. But we are all out there sort of quasi living our lives. So remember that when you, the next time you think, oh, those people shouldn't be doing that or whatever.
Yeah.
Go look at your own life and realize the things that you justify yourself doing. And again, like.
That sounds terrible. Why unless would I can just blindly point fingers at people?
Unless you're super quarantiner, bro, then let's all shut up and just do the best we can. Okay. That's how I view it.
We're all doing the very best we can.
Oh, I think most of us are trying.
Yeah.
There are some that are
a
bit of a
reason.
Problem.
Yeah.
But safety is relative. So if you don't want to fly, I totally get how somebody wouldn't. But what they are saying now, somebody has put the numbers to it that the odds of catching COVID on a flight are slim. So, you know, they're talking about these super spreader events.
Sure.
This is how the COVID gets spread is you get one person who is a super spreader mm-hmm. and they do something that's probably a little irresponsible. And then all of a sudden there are other people and then it spreads and then boom, it's like a wildfire.
Yeah.
Right. Get how that works.
I do get how that works.
Well, they are saying that so far planes have not been the sites of super spreading events.
Well, that's good.
And that is likely due to the fact that everyone is required to, and most people, if not all people, are masking up.
And they're not, you know, you are getting people on planes that aren't getting up. People are minding their own business.
That's right.
I feel like people that are getting on planes are taking this very seriously.
It's so interesting how we know how this is spread and how, and the things we don't, the things that we shouldn't be doing.
Yes.
One is workplace spreads.
Yeah.
We're still trying to monitor. Like, for example, there's no one around our workplace still until the first of the year because we cannot all be going to work and interacting with one another with this thing not under control, right?
Yes.
That's the obvious one. So we're doing a pretty good job of that. Two is restaurants and bars.
Yeah.
Now, there are safe ways to have restaurants. There are plenty of them open, and you can do it. But this is a major risk area, particularly bars. It's tough, right?
Yeah.
And the third would be travel.
Well, and you would think airplanes in general, right? You're confined, you're in a tube, recirculated air. You would think that would be like the worst possible place
to
be.
That's right. But it's so funny how everybody is taking travel so damn seriously, but they are not taking seemingly bars or social gatherings seriously. Why? So So that goes back to show you that when you mandate it, when you cannot get on that plane without a mask, guess what? People do it regardless of their thoughts about the situation, right?
Yeah.
When you don't mandate, people won't do it. Good lesson there.
Yeah. It's Well, unless those two bros, because they're just still refusing to do it.
Well, again, that's two people. Think of all the people that are traveling.
How many people are on the
airplane. Dude, I was in three airports. I never saw anybody without a mask.
Yeah.
And we're taking that so seriously, but yet other elements of the super of potential super spreader,
you know what,
honestly, types of ideas.
I was thinking about that.
Nobody takes them seriously.
When you said that, I think what it is, when you're getting ready to go on an airplane, right? It's like, oh, well, there's travel, right? And I'm in the tube, and you know, I don't know where any of these people have been. But when you're gathering with family or you're gathering with friends, I think there's an element of, oh, what could go wrong? I know these people. I'm around these people all the time. Right. These are, you know, this. Oh, yeah. What could possibly happen? I was talking to my brother over the weekend, and a friend of his, a wife and the daughter both have it. And I guess it's pretty serious. Like they're, you know, they're not hospitalized, but they are super sick. No sense of taste, smell. It's rough. They're pretty miserable right now. And you know where they went? Arizona. They went on a trip to Arizona.
And what did they do there?
They went on. They went down with some friends and, you know, rented a house and boats and
masking
how
many precautions are they?
I don't think it was that many. But
going to Arizona in the first place was probably.
And that was kind of my brother's thing. When he asked him, he's like, "Hey, man, you're going to Arizona just for like vacation and to kind of you went down there with a couple families to have a good time. So you rented some homes, you rented some boats. My guess is." There wasn't a lot of, you know, you clearly felt okay to go down there and party. And this is what my point is. When you're around people that you know and you're doing activities that are kind of day-to-day sort of things, I think people don't, I think there's a false assumption of security when you're going on an airplane. I think it's, oh my God, I better button up. I better mind my P's and Q's.
Yeah, maybe so.
I think day-to-day stuff, you let your guard down.
Yeah. Arnold Barnett, a professor of management science at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. That is MIT. He's smart.
Yeah, I'm assuming.
I bet he's smart.
Is there anyone at MIT that's a dumbass?
No.
No?
No.
Not one person at MIT?
No.
That, like, fakes some transcripts or whatever?
No. He's been trying to quantify the odds of catching COVID from flying. He has factored in a bunch of variables, including the odds of being seated near someone in the infectious stage of the disease, and the odds that the protection of masks now required on all flights will fail. He's accounted for the way air is constantly renewed in airplane cabins, which experts say makes it very unlikely you'll contract the disease from people who aren't in your immediate vicinity, your row, or, to a lesser extent, the person across the aisle, the people ahead of you, or the people behind you. What he came up with was that we have about a 1 in 4,300 chance of getting COVID on a full 2-hour flight. Ooh. That is 1 in 4,300 passengers will pick up the virus on average. The odds of getting the virus are about half that, 1 out of 7,700 if airlines leave the middle seat empty. He has posted his results as a not yet peer-reviewed preprint. That's what they do in the business.
That's not bad, right? Like,
I think that's good.
Yeah, that's my point. Is like, if you're considering getting on an airplane, I think that's fairly positive news.
Yeah, he says the numbers all sound low enough, although he says they're still high compared to the 1 in 34 million odds that your flight will end in a deadly crash. He said he personally would not fly right now because he's 72.
Yeah.
And he's higher risk.
Sure.
But he says, when you consider the risk, you know, when you consider everything, factor that into the risks, it's really not that
scary to fly.
It's not as scary as we make it out to be. Okay. Even though to some people, again, this is where we pick and choose. Some people will be like, there's no way I'm flying.
Sure.
And that's totally understandable.
Yeah.
But, you know, like to your friends, like it's not illegal to go to Arizona and have a vacation.
But you did get two of your party that now are pretty sick.
Right, but now, it's one thing if they went to Arizona and took every precaution possible, but still went on their vacation. That's, you know, in the end.
Sure.
You know, you risked it and you lost.
Yeah.
But if they went down there and just kept to themselves and masked up and did everything right, would they have caught it? Or can they go back and look at their behavior while they were down there and go, yeah.
Yeah, we should have done.
We went too far.
Yeah.
So there's two ways, you know, there's a lot of different ways you can travel.
Sure, and it's probably too easy to say flying or going on vacation was the cause of this. There's usually probably multiple things.
Were they negligent or were they doing everything that they could and they still got it? Well, then that probably shows you probably shouldn't have gone.
I'll admit, so over the 6 months, I think I've been pretty decent about minimizing my risk, right? Really, I haven't gone anywhere, masking up, you know, not... I didn't rush back to the gym today. I don't know if that's happening anytime
soon. You
have
to stay 17 feet away.
Yeah. But at the same time, I know I've done a thing or two. Not many, but there have been times where I've gone to something. And as I'm there, I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I should be doing this. And if I caught it at there, I would feel pretty dumb. It hasn't happened many times, but there have been a couple that I've been to and have had that thought of, this is pretty stupid. Why am I doing this?
Yeah. Well, again... we're all trying to do the best we can.
Yeah.
That's the best we can do. Hence, best we can.
Yeah.
You know?
I do know.
All right. What is next?
I don't know. The best we can do. That's what's next. The very best.
You want some more socially distancing talk? Social distancing talk?
Socially distancing? What's happening?
If you do not socially distance, you are a psychopath.
Really?
Science.
Seems a bit extreme.
Is it?
Yeah, I think it is.
Well, we'll see.
It's a term I'm not willing to throw out all willy-nilly.
We'll see. Coming up next, here's Mike.
BetterYouToday.com. Hit get started today, and here's to a better you.
Double sun power!
Yes, more science. New research.
I do like science.
New research provides some initial evidence that certain antagonistic personality traits are associated with ignoring preventative measures meant to halt the spread of COVID-19.
Ooh.
The study has been peer-reviewed and accepted for publication in the Journal of Social Psychology and Personality Science. It is currently on their website. On March 31, 2020, Dr. Deborah Birks... of course, she's with the COVID task force in the White House.
Yep. She's kind of the head cheese now that Fauci's kind of, you know, been pushed aside a little bit.
She said, there's no magic bullet. There's no magic vaccine or therapy. It's just behaviors. Each of our behaviors translating into something that changes the course of this viral pandemic over the next 30 days. My experience as a psychological scientist, as well as a practicing psychologist, have convinced me that the importance of psychology and behavior in the prevention and management of a wide range of health problems is enormous. She said that.
Okay.
This includes personality or the study of important ways in which people differ. It was clear from reports in the media very early in the COVID pandemic that some people were rejecting advice to socially distance and engage in increased hygiene. There can be many reasons for this, and I thought that personality may play at least some small role in it. It turns out that researchers think that you people are psychopaths.
Psychopath does seem like a very, it seems like a strong term.
Let's read on, shall we?
Please, let's go on this journey together.
Would
don't
you like
jump
more?
Ahead. I would.
Don't jump ahead. Okay, I won't. I won't jump ahead, even though we're already supposed to break. But who cares? Does anybody care? No one cares about
that. No one cares. The boss does, but man, what is he going to do?
So she continues. She says, I knew that traits from the so-called dark triad, as well as, and that includes narcissism and, you know, being a psycho.
Sure.
As well as the traits subsumed within psychopathy are linked to health risk behavior and health problems, and I expected them to be implicated in health behaviors during a pandemic. There is also prior research suggesting that people high on the dark triad traits may knowingly and even deliberately put other people's health at risk by engaging in risky behavior and not telling their partner about having HIV or, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, sexual behavior. Early in the pandemic and in subsequent months, there were numerous reports of individuals purposefully coughing, spitting,
hey-oh!
Or even licking door handles in public.
What were they doing again?
Coughing, spitting, or even licking door handles in public.
I don't think that's what they were doing.
Either as a way to intimidate others or as a way to rebel against the emerging new norms of social distancing and hygiene.
Now, I have seen plenty of videos of angry middle-aged bros out there doing the...
People do that.
Coughing on people.
People do that.
Or at stores when someone, when like at Costco or Walmart, like, hey, you need to put a mask on. as they're leaving, they purposely cough on everybody.
So she said, I was curious whether the dark triad and psychopathy-related traits may help explain such behavior. So they researched it. They surveyed 502 U.S. adults between March 20 and 23 of this year. The online survey asked participants how often they complied with health recommendations on preventing the spread of coronavirus, if they plan to do so, and how they would behave if they became infected. It also includes several assessments of personality. So this study took place before health behaviors related to the pandemic had become extremely politicized in the U.S., so that's important.
Sure.
Most of the participants the researchers found were complying with health recommendations. It was encouraging to find, this is not her, this is the researcher talking, it was encouraging to find that people who participated in my study generally reported engaging in social distancing and hygiene, planning to continue to engage in these measures, and would be willing to do whatever was necessary to protect the health of loved ones, acquaintances, and even strangers. But some participants reported not heeding the advice, which the researchers found was linked to several personality traits. They found that lower levels of agreeableness and conscientiousness were associated with a reduced likelihood of endorsing health recommendations related to social distancing and hygiene. In other words, people who are less sympathetic, cooperative, and people who are less responsible and organized were less likely to engage in preventative measures. In addition, people who score higher on the psychopathic subtraits of meanness and disinhibition tended to show less interest in social distancing and hygiene. Meanness and disinhibition also predicted the endorsement of behavior that puts others at risk of infection, such as touching or sneezing on high use surfaces in public.
Look, I find that interesting, but it kind of follows in line with, I don't know if you've had this, but most of the time when I run into someone that I know casually or whatever that is anti-mask, anti-social distance, someone that takes no care whatsoever in this, it's not a surprise to me. It follows it like at the beginning of this, if you were to gather me and say, hey, of the people you know, these five are the ones that are going to just say F this and kind of engage in this behavior.
Oh, you picked him out of a lineup.
Not one of them, I would be like, I can't believe that. It was all like,
yeah, they're right.
Yeah, that's about
there's
right.
There's a line of thinking that you knew.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
And every now and then you come across someone that's like that and you're like, I would have never seen that from you. But for the most part, I think you know. If you think about it, you're sitting in the car right now, think about the person you know that is taking this the least serious, and you will probably, that will come as no surprise. You could have said that right from the get-go.
Yeah, so somebody said, my survey found the same results, except my survey, they're just called a-holes. Well, yeah, but I mean, they're taking it a step further and saying that that type of behavior is literally psycho.
Yeah, it's
psycho.
It's like a disease.
Yeah.
It's a mental defect.
Crazy, bro.
Which again, it doesn't come as a surprise to
no,
me.
No, it really isn't.
No.
It really isn't.
You know who you are.
I know who one of them is.
Me too.
Pretty high up in this land.
Nope. Not what? Who I'm thinking of.
All right. We got to go. I think we got to go. John's up next, I think. Go. Is he up next?
He's up next.
We already there? Man, yeah. This show has flown by. John wraps it up next on The Fan. Oh, and I'll wait.
Nobody seen, yeah, don't mind us. He's only got like 2 minutes.
Yeah, we're
this
running.
This is Mailing It Whoa. In with oh. Big John Sakanik on 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, we had to play the little open there.
Yeah.
What were you guys talking about?
Talking about hot video game baseball.
And how you're cheating still?
We were talking about Mike's season. He's having trouble with the Dodgers. So I was listening to him vent a little bit. It's very therapeutic, but like you would care.
No, I really don't care, but
I know. And I'm watching the real Mariners right now, and Kyle Lewis is 2-for-2, and he's hit in every game but one this year. Thank you very much.
I would just like to point out that I do believe that John's sports boner for Kyle Lewis is bordering on very uncomfortable at this
great
point.
Great little player.
You got sports bone?
Yeah, he does.
It might be. There might be some tight sports fans for Kyle Lewis.
He's a nice player.
He is a nice player. Thank you, Rob. Thank you for acknowledging that he's a nice little player.
You know what? I actually tuned in just to see him because I hate watching the Mariners, but I was, so I play fantasy, and you know, you look at the fantasy, like the waiver wire, you know, because it's just a mess trying to put together a fantasy team right now. And you look on there and you're like, oh my God, all the top guys with pretty decent stats are Mariners, like Kyle Seager and JP Crawford. And so I picked up Kyle Lewis and he was out there and I said, oh, well, I'll give this guy a shot. Everybody's talking about how, what a hot shot he is. So I went and tuned in to watch him and I was pleasantly surprised. That said, I've since dropped him. He strikes out too much. But it seems like they're doing pretty well, even though I'm not watching them.
They, as in the Mariners, are not doing well. But Kyle Lewis is doing well, and Kyle Seager is as well. I'm hoping that he does well enough that somebody might want to trade for him at this modified deadline.
That's a giant in your face. Yeah.
All right, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
All right, fella, we got to go.
All right, go Mariners.
Good talk. All right, coming up next, Ducks Insider. We are back tomorrow, 3 to 7 on the Fan. Good night.
Red Chips of Spain. Red Chips of Spain.
He's not hard, Jason.
Yeah. Why are people afraid to swallow it?
I don't know.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.